Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The Lord has been slowly revealing things. Slowly. I shouldn't say slowly. Maybe I'm just slow to get it. I've been revealing things to our church body about what the fire's about. About refining, about being conformed to the image of Christ, taking on His character, allowing His Spirit to convict us, instruct us, further us in righteousness, His righteousness, not our self-righteousness. And where He comes with that fire against the religious spirit and wants to have genuine, authentic followers to learn how to walk with Him and live with Him and hear His voice and honor His Word and know His Word. And so we've talked in recent weeks that is what is going on. God has not relented from it, but I am here to tell you this. You and I better hear His warnings. It seems to be an emphasis and a message and warnings from God, His purpose, out of His love for you and I. And we know that there are times where God seems to draw close and reveal Himself in certain manners, and then He does something else and reveals, and it goes on. And I want you to know that these days of warnings and refining, that it is a lifetime process, yes, but right now it is what is on, seems to be on His mind and His heart for us. And I want you to know those days are numbered. There is a window here. I want us to understand that. And I don't want us to miss this window of what God is doing because it's by His good pleasure. Last Sunday, God took this to another level in revelation in my own heart about a spiritual pride and an arrogance that He is concerned about right here. As He began to speak to me about that, there were two messages that came last Sunday at near the end of the service. One was by Dana, as she was here at this keyboard. And another was by John Harrison, who at the time, I think, was kneeling here at this altar. Both of them pointing to humble ourselves and to walk in humility. And maybe you don't recall that or you vaguely recall it. I want you to know that came seconds after I felt the Lord speak to me and I wrote down what He was already starting to do. And I want to talk to you this morning about this issue and where it applies for you and I personally. And let's do this. Let's take God's good medicine of His Word and His Spirit. You don't have to go. You don't have to go to start searching where there is no conviction. But for those of us who have a conviction of the Spirit, may we hear it this morning, sense it, and feel it in us. Because we love the prophecies that, you know, God loves us and everything's okay. Woohoo! I want you to know that God loves us. And He still brings words of instruction and discipline because He's a perfect Father. Now, I want you to know that not everything with God is gloom and doom either. Some people get bent on that. You know, hey, oh man, it's got to be all these gloom and doom and judgment prophecies, and then we know it's God. Well, I want you to know that that's not true either. There are prophecies and words that come from Him in seasons for discipline that brings life. Discipline that brings and reveals His love for us. I want you to know that we, I think, have lived in some days of wonderful blessing of what God has done in our lives, even in this church. And I don't think those days are over. But we like those days. But we had better learn to embrace all the days that God has appointed for us. And not to be concerned or worried about what God might be doing somewhere else. but what God is doing right here. Not that we don't care what God is doing in other places or around the world. All of that is good. But this is a time and a place and a people that God is speaking to. And I don't want us to miss the window. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Jeremiah. You can turn to chapter 41. Thank you, dear. I want to mention this to you. You know, when when we lust, and we're not talking about lust this morning, but when we lust, you feel the desire. You know that the desire is happening. You're aware of it. When you covet, you know that you are driven by more. You know it. You sense it. You feel it. You can, you know, if you stop and think, you can see that it's operating in you. If you're depressed, many times there's physical signs in your body that go along to confirm that you're depressed. There are things you can recognize that are happening. One of the things that we rarely see or catch when it's operating, it's rarely or not readily always recognized in us, is because it's slow. It's little by little. It's just this tiny. It looks level at the time, but it's this slow grade. And it feels flat. But if you look over time, it actually dropped a significant amount. It was just that it was little by little. And it's called passivity. Being passive. Being lulled into status quo when things are good. In Jeremiah, what was happening, one of the things that have happened is that Babylon came in and basically took Israel into captivity. What the king of Babylon decided to do is that as he was taking the Israelites into captivity, he would also leave behind a remnant of Israelites in Mizpah. And those Jews that were scattered, they came together in Mizpah. And they were allowed to live in somewhat of a freedom, not like others who were taken into captivity. And he placed over them a man who was godly and named him as governor over just the Jews. And his name was Gedaliah. And Gedaliah encouraged the remnant, the Jews, to serve the Babylonians well. Be nice, serve them, take care of them, and it will assure you that things will continue to go good for you. In fact, what happened that year is that there was a harvest for them, the Jews, that was an abundance of fruit and an abundance of wine. And things were looking really good and like it was all under control. And some warnings were sent by godly counsel to Gedaliah. And Gedaliah ignored the warnings. And we'll pick up at just a couple of verses here at Jeremiah chapter 41. In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nathanael, the son of Elishma, who was of royal blood and had been one of the king's officers, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam at Mizpah, while they were eating together there. Now listen, they came and they were sharing food together. They were sitting around talking. They were eating. Everything was looking like it always did. Looking good. And while they were eating together, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him got up and struck down Gedaliah. Struck him down. They killed him. They took his life and took some others' lives who were with him. He was given some warnings about this could happen and this was about to happen, and he ignored it because he looked around him and things seemed to be so good. Things seemed to be prospering. I mean, after all, we just had a great harvest. Everything seems right. We have been assured, you know, a person's word that if we just serve them well, we'd be okay here. And things were good, and they believed it, and they just became passive. They just walked in the status quo. They looked at outside markers, external things, as being the only sign of approval or blessing. I want you to know that outward signs, natural things, can be a sign of blessing. However, it is not always the only sign of God's blessing. God's blessing is in how He measures us. I want you to know that those who are not having necessarily all the abundance, it doesn't mean that God has not blessed them. It doesn't mean that God looks at them and looks at them less, and so He just doesn't bless them. And that those who have much, God has blessed. Certainly, maybe He has. But I want you to know that outward signs are not the measure of whether God has blessing upon us or not. Listen, there's times that things seem very lean, that God is blessing and doing wonderful works. You can look at hard, difficult churches around the world who don't seem to have much, and yet Christianity prospers. You see, the outward is not the only sign that we hang God's spiritual blessing on or not. Do things look good? Is there a lot? God's blessing. Oh, it's lean. We must be doing something wrong. Not always. Sometimes that's the case. We have to have an ear for God's Spirit and what is He saying and what is His marker and where is He leading me or us. Gedaliah became very passive. And it wasn't recognized. I told you about how they got to that place. As he was a governor. And he became complacent. We heard a word of prophecy to us as a church some months ago about that. That prophecy was not just for one Sunday and then it was gone. It was the beginning laying foundation for God bringing to us what we now see in recent history, His agenda of fire and refining and bringing us closer and bringing revelation of Himself, giving instruction or warning to us. Not that there's this coming judgment and there's coming doom, but this is what is on God's mind and heart for this place. And when I say His heart for this place, it means us. The man who stands in the pulpit in his life, and the people who are sitting in the pew and in your personal life. Passivity, because it's lulled to us, lulled to sleep. We can look at past laurels. We can look at things we've done or things that have gone well and we seem to, I don't know, somewhere in some hall, sacred hall in our mind, there's this hall of fame about what we've done, how we sacrificed, things we did, our wise decisions, directions we took, the way we went, and all of these things seem to turn out good and right, and truly God blessed and God has led. But maybe not all is well. We need to maybe lend ear to what God is saying, because in complacency, things seem to always go well and like they're under control. And you know what happens? We are guilty of this. We get a little smug. We get a little smug with God's blessing or when things seem to be going well. Hey, we're to celebrate it. We're to rejoice in Him. It's not that we can't have gratitude for the hard work and what God has done. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we get a little smug about it, we tend to get a little passive. There's not the edge or the alertness and the awareness of continuing to grow or to continue to develop. We look at what's around us and it seems all good. And that's when we get a little smug. And what eventually sets in, because it doesn't come in like this, it trickles in. And I'll tell you what, pride just trickles in. Arrogance trickles in. And we get passive about the things of God that God still wants to do, because we look at how we've responded in the past or what God has done. And we keep wearing that as the trophy. And we don't take the fresh warnings. We don't take the fresh signals. Listen. Gedaliah was a godly man. It says it in Scripture. He was a godly man. But he did not, and he became godly. You're not just labeled godly. It's something in his life brought him to a place where it was mentioned that he was a godly man. There was something, a trail in his life that said, hey, he's got a pretty good record here. And yet he refused a warning that was sent to him in good counsel. And one of the things that happens in pride and arrogance along the way, we just get too good to accept counsel. You know when pride and arrogance has settled into your life, you no longer give your ear to counsel. It doesn't mean that you have to listen to every counsel that comes. We know not every counsel and every brother or sister in Christ, as well as they seem to, you know, want to care, it doesn't mean that all the counsel is from God, because within the same Christian family, you can get conflicting counsel. But we come to a place where pride and arrogance slip in that we no longer want to take counsel from anybody. You know, when you're young, everything's always developing and growing and changing, so taking counsel is just kind of part of natural life. Right? Because there's new revelations, new information coming to us all the time in the way that's natural, not just spiritual. But as we grow and as we spend time with God and we walk through our life and we just get a little bit older, we think that experience has brought maturity. Not necessarily. Age doesn't necessarily bring maturity in our walk with Christ. We might just be getting old. And we forget that, you know, we maybe don't have it all together, and we don't take counsel anymore, and we don't take input anymore. And I want you to know, when things look good and things look right, it's like we build this resume in our heart and mind that, hey, you know what? We must be doing pretty good. I don't have to listen to counsel. I don't have to listen to warnings. After all, things seem pretty good. What warning? Things are good. That's not from God. Things look good. And we go on that little journey, little debate and argument in our mind. And what happens when pride slips in, it becomes this huge, huge roadblock to what God wants to do. God has been in the past, but it doesn't guarantee that you and I are always going to, you know, sense God in His direction in the future. That was then. We're grateful. But what about now and all the tomorrows He gives us? Our past does not secure our future. That's why churches are closing their doors all over the United States. God may have done wonderful things in the past, but somewhere along the line, it was not God's plan to close the church. God had plans and moved a direction, and somewhere along the line, people did not follow. They didn't take the warnings. They didn't take the counsel. They didn't, you know, stay with His leading. They rode on yesterday. Gedaliah rode on yesterday. And what seemed to be present. And then the day came that he was warned about. And he just didn't see. You see, when pride and arrogance come in, it brings two things to us. It brings spiritual blindness, and it causes us to be deaf. When we look only at our past laurels and the surroundings that we take as blessing, without the awareness that God is wanting to do something and lead and go somewhere and still work in us, what happens is we become blind and deaf to God. It's like a person who, they become deaf because they only like to hear their own voice. You understand that? They think that they're the only revelation or funnel of God or good ideas. Or they're so used to going to meetings and being the one that's heard that they actually become deaf because they no longer listen to God or other counsel. I'll tell you what, if you are a manager or a leader or a supervisor or something, some level of leadership, and you're the one that's always looked to for answers and everything else and to lead the meetings and all this, and I want you to know something. I know what I'm talking about here. That's not a pride or arrogance. It's just that's the shoes I walk in as the pastor. And we can be as guilty as anybody. We can cause ourselves to be deaf, because we just like to hear our own voice and no one else's. You can be that way in any setting, level of leadership in your life, just like it was in the life of this governor. Didn't respond to the warning. It cost him his literal physical life. I want you to know, I want to read you a scripture here, and I'll tell you where it is afterwards, because I just want to read it to you. I want you to listen. Be self-controlled and alert. That is not a person who is passive and lulled to sleep by surroundings or past laurels. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, he is not scared. Hear this. He is not scared of your past achievements. He is not scared of your resume. He is not scared of what God has done in your life in the past or through you. He is not scared of those things, because he has watched over time people who have great histories. He takes a big bite out of them, because they get to a point where things seem good and they seem right by our own estimation. We are lulled into passivity. Pride and arrogance come in and we don't recognize it. And he takes a big bite out of us. I want to talk to you about this place of leadership in our life, because he was a leader. And somewhere in your life, you're a leader. You may not have the job title, or you may not have that platform of influence on a large scale, but all of you have places of leadership where you have influence and you have the ability to make decisions. In fact, maybe your audience is just you. You choose. You lead yourself, right? We choose. Oh, no, we're spirit-led. Yeah, but you choose to be spirit-led. You are leading. We're the church. Hear this. This is not the country club. This is not some community organization. Hear this. This is the church. This is God's people. And we look at church sometime like, oh, yeah, you know, holy. But you know what? The church gets the leftovers. God gets the leftovers. Because we're busy running, doing so many other things. Listen, it's not that we shouldn't be involved in the marketplace. We have to be. We're called to herald the message of the gospel. Is we have to be out there and live our life and have an influence of God through us. Absolutely. But this is the church of Jesus Christ, his followers. And we get passive. Things seem good and we can go through the routine. You know what? God is wanting to do something fresh and something new and some transforming work in us. Self-righteousness has always stunk to God. And it hasn't changed. The thing is, sometimes we get used to its aroma and we think it smells really good because it reeks of ourself and we like the smell of it and we think God likes it. He doesn't like it. This is not the Rotary Club. As important as Rotary Club is and community things and national things, and as important as politics are and all these things that we've just experienced and that are going on, I want you to know something. None of those things, none of them, are more important than God and his people, his living church. And we look at it like, oh, well, it's church. You know how that's happened? Because we become passive. I'm not talking about being militant and hard and harsh. I'm talking about a life in the Spirit. Life following God. Pursuing God. Allowing him to convict and respond to conviction. Not continue to say, oh, things are good. Things are all right. And there's warnings and his furnace and the fire and the refining. And we think we are okay. How much sin and compromise is okay? Ask yourself. I have to ask myself. How much compromise and sin is okay? Obviously, this much sin must be okay. Even though I feel a little convicted, it's not real bad. Besides, look, everything seems to be going good. So it must be acceptable to God. It is not acceptable to him. It is not acceptable. If you have been telling yourself it's acceptable, it is not acceptable. It's not something God overlooks. He is aware of it. And he's bringing it to our attention. He's bringing yours to your attention. He is bringing mine to my attention. Because God does want a people. He's coming back for people without a spot and without a wrinkle. Without blemish. There's this ongoing perfecting. And we think that the past looks pretty good and the present is doing all right. And so you know what? We lull slowly lull ourselves into passivity and spiritual pride and spiritual arrogance. Listen, pride and arrogance does not show up where people are just running around bragging about themselves. Listen, it is not that explicit. If you're thinking, well, I don't really brag about my spiritual walk. I mean, after all, I'm just saved by grace. And you know what? That talk is good, but God sees your heart. And he knows how you and I respond to conviction. That's where he knows if there is pride and arrogance in us. It's not like we walk around and brag about ourselves. I mean, there's a few people you come across, but you know, that's just loud and clear. That's just blatant. It's about what's behind all that and what's in here and how we respond to him in the private moments. How we respond to him in the public moments. God is refining. This is a message of his holiness. And listen, by my tone this morning, don't misunderstand this. Don't think, gee, pastor must really be mad. I'm not mad. I'm not even angry. I mean, I'd like to be humorous and preach a fun message. But today, like days like today, remind me that I have a responsibility to you because I love you. And I do, I care about you. You can believe me or not believe me, that's entirely your prerogative. I know where I'm at in this. You know, we look at things in our life like, well, that's separate from spirituality or church. I mean, it's like being a husband, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives the parallel, and there's other places in Scripture where, you know, he gives the parallel that that Christ is the head of the church, just like the husband is head of the wife. Now, you may not like that, and you may have your personal agendas and problems and flaws and hang-ups with all that, and you want to explain it away and all that. Have your party. But Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, in the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote what's true, whether you like it, whether I like it or not. But here's the deal, husband. We're supposed to be head of the wife. Understand that that is a priestly responsibility. It is a priestly responsibility. It is a spiritual position. And with it comes spiritual leadership. And it doesn't mean that you create their agenda for them and do all this. It's how you live. The spiritual life that you lead and have in the influence of it in your marriage or in your home. Gedaliah was in a spiritual leadership position, but he forgot that with it came priestly responsibilities. That he represented leadership between God and people. Now listen, we know in the New Testament we're all priests unto God. We don't have to go through a priest. Well, we do. We all go through the same priest. One great chief high priest, Jesus Christ. You do not have to go through me to God. Hallelujah. You should be real happy about that. Your salvation is not based upon me. Thank God. Because if it was, you'd all be lost. But there are places of spiritual leadership in all of our lives. Husbands, being a husband is a priestly responsibility. You can say, no, that's not spiritual. I'm just the husband, or I'm just the dad. You know, I mean, yeah, I work and I provide, and you know that, you know, and I kind of live decent in front of my family. Listen, it is a priestly responsibility, and you can't change it, and you can't put it away. Just like Christ is the head of the church, the priestly position of the church, his believers, his followers, like a husband with a wife. We're talking about the church here. So you know what? Let's do this, because this is good for all of us, and this isn't just for those who are deacons in office. But that's a spiritual leadership position. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you have to turn there. You can if you want, but I'm just going to read some things to you. You know, verse 1 starts with, here's a trustworthy saying, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Well, I want you to know that your deacons are not overseers. Deacons are deacons. Overseers are the pastors. So that first part, that's for me. You can read it if you want. But right now we're going to skip down to verse 8. Deacons, likewise. In other words, just like the overseer, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons in the same way their wives. Listen, you don't hold the office of deaconess, but you are the wife of a deacon. And with it come responsibilities, priestly, spiritual responsibilities, just like the deacon. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. These are places of spiritual leadership. Listen, when I came here, I said something to the deacon board. I said, listen, when I come here as the pastor, I really am not interested in just letting you get away with being trustees or just businessmen directing just the finances of the church. I feel that you are also called to be spiritual men. And those who were maybe at that pulpit committee or on the board at that time, you may recall that. Well, here's the thing, church. You're called to the same thing, even though you're not a deacon. You're called to the same calling. Can you read through the list and look at it and say, hey, is this who I am? Is this how I respond to God's holiness and the way I live my life in person, in my private life, in my public life? Are they the same? I mean, if God's refining, then we're not to stay where we are. And it's good for us, it's great for me to look through this, because I have to be reminded of who I'm supposed to be when I read the first part of chapter 3 as an overseer. Who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to live like. Not just in front of the church. And my wife's not off the hook. She's supposed to live a life according to the way the wife's supposed to be. And deacons' wives. But the thing is, isn't it where we're all supposed to live? A call of onward, upward in holiness, or depth, or roots go deep, or whatever it is. Instead of just gauging, hey, things must be, you know, really good. I mean, look what's going on around, and everything seems good. Listen, in the middle of things seeming good and we become passive and we get a little arrogant and we don't take counsel and we don't receive his warnings, we end up missing God. And we carry on with what is and what seems to be acceptable. Because, you know, hey, he's been blessing and yet, you know, there's little compromises, but they must not be a big deal to him because, you know, he's still pouring out. Listen, God has poured out on sinful people for a long time. It doesn't mean that all their sin was acceptable. And he sends us a warning because he wants to do something in and through this church. I believe that. That is not just talk. I believe that. To the depths of my soul, to the depths of my spirit, I believe that. You know the interesting thing? When our pride and arrogance get in the way, and we are Christian, we're involved in the church, we're in places of leadership in our life or somewhere, whether it's in the community, church, or wherever, family, school, it's interesting when pride and arrogance set in. You know, it says something interesting here in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, the person who wants to be an overseer, he must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited, thinking more of themselves than they should, where pride and arrogance settle in. In other words, I don't have to, you know, respond to certain things because I'm okay. I've pretty much got it together. Or good enough. God seems to be blessing. Look at all around me. And, hey, he must approve of everything in me. It says that don't give a recent convert this position of overseer because the fact is they can become conceited. And here's the deal. Here's the real deal. It's not because, hey, we don't want a conceited leader. Ooh, that's bad. Yeah, that's true, but here's the fact. It's not about the conceit. It's about that individual and what happens to them. Because it says this, they may get conceited, become conceited, and fall under the same judgment as who? The devil. Now that's interesting to me. That when we become filled with pride or arrogance, or we don't respond to God's convictions and little convictions along the way, or we look at like, hey, everything seems to be okay around us, and you know, yeah, these little things must be acceptable to God. After all, you know, him and I have this agreement that nobody else has. You want to talk about deception? There it is. We come under the same judgment as the devil? That pride and arrogance somehow are that strong and repelling to God? See, the point is not, oh, don't put him in leadership, he's conceited. The point is this, we care more about the individual's eternity. We don't want them to be under the judgment of the devil. So don't put him in that place. That's the concern. The concern is not that there's going to be some person in leadership who's arrogant. That's you and I. We get all bent out of shape. Oh, they're cocky. Oh, they're arrogant. No, no. It's a concern for the person that they don't lose out in the end. That's God's concern. Don't put them in that place, not because they'll become conceited, but because if they become conceited, they will be under judgment like the devil. That's where conceit, pride, and arrogance lead us. And that's a person who is a convert, a Christian. You and I need to take from that principle and apply it to our life. Well, I'm not a recent convert. No, the point is not being a recent convert. The point has conceit, pride, and arrogance slipped in ever so gradually. Because we're going to sit under some judgments and we're not going to be able to say, hey, I did this in the church. Look at the church I attend. Look at the building and look at this and look what I did that nobody knows about. And God's going to say, yeah, but I convicted you of this. And yeah, you didn't do this. And you know, and we start to get in this argument about what we did and what we didn't. Why don't we solve it now instead of waiting and say, God, what is it you're convicting me of? Listen, we have to give an account. You and I will have to give an account. If I did not speak this morning, that which I sense was on God's heart and direction over recent weeks, if I did not do it, I would give an account to him for it. And I am more scared of that than what you think of me this morning. Bottom line. I mean, I love you, and I don't want to say I don't care because, you know, it kind of affects a person, but you know what? I don't care. I do not care. Not that your opinion doesn't have value, it just doesn't outrank God. I'm sorry. If pride and arrogance has slipped in the slightest way, how much is okay? I mean, who do we think we are? I got to tell you something. I'd love to bring the article this morning that was written about this church. You don't even know that it's been written. And I'm not telling you. In fact, I didn't read the article. God bless them, whoever read it, and let them have a great time, and they can think I'm a super pastor, and we're a super church. That's fine. They can think it. Right now, we're about God's business and what he thinks this morning. I mean, take it as encouragement, but I didn't want to bring that. I didn't want to read it because I sense what God is doing in the refining fire in the window that we have. And you know what? I cannot take that. I will not bite that. That is, they didn't mean it that way, but that is bait. God is wanting to do something else. And I will tell you this. I will tell you, this is for every one of us, and we're not looking at any particular individual or anything else, but I'm telling you something. The fire is from the bottom to the top. I'm at the bottom. And after me, yeah, there's staff. And then there's leaders in the church. And those who hold office, and they are deacons, and they are their wives. And me and my wife, and our staff, and their spouse, and the deacons, and their wives, I'm going to tell you this. Now, this isn't for everybody. This is just for us. You had better sit up, and you had better take notice, and you had better listen to God. And those of you who serve on worship team and teach in rooms and watch nursery and do all these things, I'm going to tell you something. You had better sit up and you had better take notice and you better sort things out. And those who aren't serving in the church, listen, sit up, take notice. God has a fire lit to refine us and purify us. He loves you. He cares about you. He does not want you lost, and he wants you to give him a good name and for you to have a good name but not be wrapped up in it. And if you're in a place where people are always singing your praise and you're surrounded with people who always compliment you, you're like, that's real nice. And say thank you and mean it and be grateful. But you know what? Don't think that that's necessarily God's opinion of you. Why don't you find out what he thinks? Ask him. Ask him. And if you can't hear him, then ask somebody you trust who walks with him and can tell you. Listen, this isn't without grace and this isn't without mercy. His grace and mercy are this. He's speaking to us. And if we respond, then his grace and mercy has fallen on good soil. And there will be great, joyful, hopeful, abundant days ahead. Repentance still works. God did not come out with a new Testament. His Old Testament, New Testament. He did not come out with a new Testament. He didn't come out with a revised version. It is still saved by grace through faith that we would not think salvation came by our good works. That we could boast. Where this fits this morning for you personally, take it. If a lot of this doesn't fit to you, just take good notes because one day it might. Listen, if you are a member of this church, now I don't mean you look at yourself like a member because you attend all the time and you are involved here. I'm talking about those of you who said, I am a member at New Life Assembly of God. You made a vow. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you made a vow To live according to what the Constitution and bylaws, based upon Scripture, has put in motion to be a member of this church. And if you are not doing what that says, then you're in violation. Start with the things we know. You don't have to go on a wild hunt looking behind stuff to try to dig something up. Let's look at what we know. Let's deal with what's in front of us and what's plain and black and white and some Bibles in red. Look at what we are taught and what Jesus said, and let's start there. You don't say, well, what about this little thing in my life? What about this little, you know, when I was wondering about, listen, you can deal with that at some point, but start with what we know and then move to the next level. And if you are a member of this church, there are things that you said you would do. Now you can say, ooh, I'm not doing them. So you know what? I'm going to withdraw my membership. Well, here's the problem. I mean, that's fine. You can do that if you want, and you can still attend here, and, you know, you think, then the pressure's off me. I'm not breaking any, you know, any code of, you know, conduct as a member. Well, here's the problem. If they're based upon the Scripture, it hasn't resolved your spiritual problem. Hasn't resolved anything, because you're still the same. If you're a Christian, you gave an account to Christ, whether you're a member or not. You signed up. If you are a deacon or deacon's wife, when you said you put my name up and I became that office, then you made a commitment not to only do what is required of a member here, but to do what the office of deacon and deacon wife says, based on Scripture. When we said yes to be overseers of this church, me predominantly, I'm married, she's not really the overseer of the church, and frankly, I don't talk to her about everything that goes on in the church. Makes the marriage better. And it makes her relationship with y'all better. Because there's no trap set for her. And if you don't understand that, you go gain understanding. And if you don't understand it, wait till you get married. You'll know. Listen, we made a commitment. Let's start with what we know. And don't jump hoops around stuff. Don't try to say, yeah, well, but, and this and that, and it, that, and that. You know, even if it comes down to this whole money and tithing thing, listen, well, you know, I'm not going to be a member because I don't look at tithing the same way that, you know, they do at New Life Assembly of God. I'm fine with continuing to attend here because, you know, I like the worship and the preaching's moderately okay. It's tolerable and there's things for my kids. And so, you know, so I can go be a part of the church, but I'm not going to tithe. Listen, that's okay. I'm not mad at you. All right? Not. Okay? Not at all. What I am is I'm concerned for you spiritually. Whether you believe right or wrong, it doesn't change the fact. It's a spiritual condition. And if you're here and you say, well, I look at tithing differently, you know, tithing is that I give 10%, but I can just go spread it around. You know, it's what I give to missions and what I do to this and what I for that. Blah, 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 blah. Can I tell you something? Jesus was real clear that that's not tithing because he looked at the religious leaders and they were saying, well, they did this and they gave there and they did this and all that. He said, hey, you should still do all the extras without disregard for that which is former. Your tithe. And we get all like, well, I don't have to tithe. You know, I can, if I give here and give there, and I gave more than 10%, but you did not give 10% tithe to God into the storehouse. You could give more than 10%, but the 10% is supposed to go a specific place. And then you can still do all the extras. You can still give more. I mean, these are things that we kind of jump around with. And you know what? Here's the real fact. When we don't come into agreement with God over His teaching and over His Scripture, hear this. Do you know what it is? It's pride. It is arrogance. You can chalk it up like you want, and you can say, well, I prayed about it, and I talked about it, and I studied about it, and I got some other people's opinions, and I went on the internet, and I heard one other guy preach this, and blah, blah, blah. You can stack it all up, line it all up. Hey, bring it to heaven with you and see what He says. Hey, bring it. Bring it on semis. Maybe you got little discs. Okay? Go ahead. Bring it with you. When we disagree, it is because of pride and arrogance, and we think we know better. You know what humility is? Accepting it at face value of what He's really saying, of what He really intends, who He really is, and whether I understand it or not, until I do, I'm going to obey You. That's humility. Listen, I just touched on tithing. It could have been anything. Listen, I got news for you. We're real grateful. You're pretty faithful people. All of that. We got money in the bank. We don't have any debt. We take care of all the bills. Hey, praise the Lord. You know what? Hallelujah. Let's all wear a badge, right? Because He must be okay with all that we do, because look at our financial account. Right? Why should I listen to this message? All the bills are paid and the building's pretty good. And boy, you know, other than the senior pastor, we got some really good staff. So, you know, things are okay. Really? That means God's okay? Well, if the church is in that kind of financial condition, then, well, they don't need my money. Listen, I got news for you. It's not about the money. It's about spiritual relationship with God and doing what He tells us to do. And when we don't, we know how to repent and repair it. Listen, this is for all of us, including the guy on the platform. I still have to repent. I still have to repair things. I still got to say I'm sorry. I still got to say I didn't get that right. That does away with pride and arrogance. Who do we think we are? By the way, humanity has made some really nice vehicles. But don't think God is impressed with yours. He's not. Man, when I first got that black truck I had, that four-door crew cab, one-ton dually, I was so grateful to Him. I still feel like He was in it, that whole experience. I'm not going to tell you about all of that. But you know what? It's a 1999. And it's not real old, but it's old. I mean, and the thing is, it can't be real impressive to God because it keeps decaying. I mean, I had it in this last week over it to see Mike Oswald to fix more stuff on it. Listen, let the Spirit of God speak to you beyond the words that I can say. There is a window here of His heavy conviction. And if you don't sense it or feel it, then you know what? Then either you're out of touch or you are a perfect person. But don't assume because you don't feel it right now that you got it all in order. You go seek Him. You go find Him. I don't want Him to begin. I do not want God to begin to expose things in us to the point of getting our attention, because we wouldn't listen in private, that people around us start to see it. And now they have to confront us. And when we don't respond to that, then it goes another level of public. And then We have to deal with it. Or if we don't, it continues to escalate. God continually giving us a chance at every level. His still small voice saying, And it's not just what we shouldn't do, but what we should be doing. That's conviction too. Hey, it's not real noble to say, hey, everything's clean before me and God. That's okay. I'm a good person at the church. And I don't talk bad. And, you know, I tithe. And, okay, and now I can just go home. Where's your ministry? What ministry are you involved in? And I don't mean just organized ministry. What ministry? What involvement in God's kingdom do you have? That's a conviction. It's about what we're supposed to do, not just the things we're not supposed to do. It's what we're supposed to be doing also.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.